time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, Evangelifish, that's really what we are, isn't it? Evangelifish. And I hate to take credit for this, but I think we'd have to Google it around. We'd have to search it. I think I coined that phrase back about 16, 17 years ago in one of my commentaries at newswithviews.com. I coined the term Evangelifish, and I think Evangelifish was in my original, it's a Christian without a backbone. It's an evangeli. That's what we've become. I thought about, I don't know how many of you watched the show yesterday. It was a holiday. I thought it was a great show yesterday. And I've been thinking about it ever since then. 24 hours, been thinking about it. The Memorial Day. And what it would be like, some of you out there right now know what it's like to stare down a bullet of a gun. Some of you know what that's like. Some of you out there watching right now know what it means to pick up a gun and fire at a man and shoot him. Some of you have experienced that. You know, somewhere along the line, let's see what Coach did. Everyone tells us how it will be in the final phase. Yeah, that's right, Robert. That's right. And you think about the lineage, your spiritual lineage, Faith Hall of Fame, we read that yesterday. Faith Hall of Fame. Think about the greatest generation, my dad's generation. You think of the bravery.
Of course.
Bravery of men who fought and died and took stands and spoke out. That is in lineage. That's our Christian heritage. That's our Christian DNA. Folks. It was Christian men that fought those wars. You understand that? It was Christian men. It was Christian men that didn't tolerate everything and accept everything and worry about hurting people's feelings. It was Christian men. There was a time when the United States was founded, when 1776, or whatever that thing happened on 1776. You know that 90%, at least 90% of the colonists, people in America at that time were Christians. Did you know that 90% of them forced the other 10% to comply by their rules? It wasn't majority rule. It was God ruled. The majority believed God, and therefore God became the standard that everybody lived by. And if you didn't want to live by that standard, you were persuaded to do so. Somewhere along the line, we lost out. We lost sight of the difference between licentiousness and liberty. Liberty brings with it responsibility. You're free because of the sacrifices you make or others have made. Licentiousness is no restraints. You're free just because you're free. Well, that's foolishness. I think a lot about that today. Yeah, I've been up a few hours thinking a lot about it. I thought this morning I'm going to wear the Jesus hat. I'll wear the Jesus hat. I've been wearing the cross hat. This one's more bold. This one's more bold. That name of Jesus, that name that's above every name. It's not the name of Jesus, not the cross, but the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. At the name of Jesus. And we used to be image bearers of Jesus. We used to not be ashamed of that word. We used to not be ashamed of that name. And we changed it from the name of Jesus to God. God bless you, brother. God bless America. Well, which God? It tells us in the first commandment, I am the Lord thy God. I shall have no other gods before me. Therefore, there must be others. Which God? And if scripture says, can two walk together unless they agree? What are the rules? Community standards. We talked about that yesterday. This Facebook, this violates our community standards. And this guy gets arrested in the UK, violates community standards. Who the hell are they making community standards? And I was thinking before I fell asleep last night. Just give me a second, all right? I was thinking just before I fell asleep. It's weird how my brain works. Just before I fell asleep last night, you know what came into my head? Oh, yeah, well, they are not going to let you do that. I was thinking about something I wanted to do, and it came into my thought process. They will not let you do that. And then you know what my next question was? Who the hell are they? What are they doing? Tell me what I can and can't do. Who are they? What do you mean I can't do that? Our forefathers, I'm not talking about my dad's generation. Go back four generations. Clint Eastwood would have shot him. They? Who are they? I'm sick and tired of the theys telling all of us what we have to teach to. I have to teach homosexuality. They said we have to. Who? Who's they? They said we have to. Nobody has control over your children but you. Nobody has responsibility for your children but you. God gave you those children that you would train them the way they should go, not some they. Well, they say this and they say that. Who the hell is they? When our government is we. We. The consent of the governed. We. And when was the last time you consented to much of this malarkey that's going on? When was the last time that you consented today? Morning, boys and girls. Hey, they're in. Occupy 2018. They came out pretty good, man. We're asking for a $40 donation because we got about 10 bucks in shipping. Believe it or not, I can buy a little packet and all that kind of stuff. $40. You send us $40 donation. It's got all the speakers. Everybody that was part of the conference Occupy 2013. We have those. Still have these. Still have a lot of the. These are really good, man. Some of these little CDs. Send us a donation. We'll send you one. I got this 3 CD set. You serve the God you see. Faith that works is dead. I got all that kinds of stuff that I'd like to get in your hands. It's going to equip you. You say, well, why don't you just give it? Jesus never charged for the gospel. No, he didn't have to pay printing costs. He didn't have to get stuff printed, and he didn't have to mail them. Morning, boys. How are we doing today? We got 27 people in here.
Did David have coach.
David, thank you, man. David made it in?
He's here, all brother.
Right. Good to have you in here, David. I'm going to pull you. You just got to bear with me, David. I've got to get this off of my chest here, some stuff that we're talking about.
That's all right. I'm with you, man. Take care.
David Hevener is a film producer, movie producer. I just 10 minutes ago, I said, hey, David, can you join us? So, I mean, there's no setup between he and I. But David and his son, Abraham, spent Saturday night, I think it was, spent Saturday night with us here in our home. And David's really on to what we're on to, and that is the idea that whatever we've been doing ain't working. Church as we do it ain't work. We talk about multimedia and connecting each other and platforms, and David's got a platform. Dr. Spaulding, are you there? I saw you in there earlier, Dr. Spaulding. Are you in there that you can come in here and tell us a little bit about your event, by the way, which David Hevener is going to be at? And Mike's probably listening to it at work.
Hi, Coach. Good morning.
Hey, good. Dr. Mike, how you doing, bud? Fill us in, brother. Great, what people can do, because it's coming up here, man. We're coming. It's coming up.
It is. You're going to be there. David Hevener will be there. Russ Dizdar will be there. David Arthur, Mark Trump, President Kelly Condra, Tom Dunn. Am I missing anybody? I hope not, but it's going to be a great conference. We've got a lot of folks have already registered just so we get a head count. Because, Coach, you know you've been to our fellowship a number of times. Yep. We've all only right. got – we can seat 150. So I'm anticipating it's going to be booked full, and it's going to be a great time.
How do they find out about it, Mike? Do we have Jared? We have that up on our web. Tell me we do. I don't know if we do or not. Where do they go, Mike, to register here?
They can go to Soaring Eagle Radio. Yep, that's it. SoaringEagleRadio.com. SoaringEagleRadio.com. There's a flyer up. They can click on that. There's a contact form on that page. And just all we want is just to know you're coming. So because if we need to cut it off, we're going to have to do that because we can only seat, like I said, 150 people. So
there it is. It's up on the screen now. We got it up there. Go there for 2018. It's great. It's a great group. And, you know, it'll be a really intimate group. 150 people. It'll be really, really good. Information will be really, really good. Dr. Spaulding's a great guy. He's got not only he has Soaring Eagle Radio. He's one of the few guys that has us on terrestrial radio. He streams our show through Lima, Ohio, which is kind of northwestern Ohio. Pastor Mike is streaming that. So looking forward to it, Pastor Mike. Boy, time flies.
Thanks, Coach.
That seems like that was when you started planning that thing. That seemed like that was so long ago, and
right.
It was just around the corner. And the date is, Pastor Mike?
The date, Friday, June the 8th, will kick off about 7 o'clock in the evening, gives people a chance to travel. And then we'll go Friday evening till whenever. Saturday morning, 9 o'clock till whenever in the evening. And then Sunday morning, Russ Dizdar will wrap us up with a message Sunday morning.
Wow, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Cool. Listen, guys, I got... sometimes I feel like Rush Limbaugh wrote a book when he first got popular called See, I Told You So. You guys remember that? And I always thought that kind of sounds kind of arrogant. See, I told you so. I feel that every day. I feel it. See, I told you so. I told you so. I'm watching what was going on with, spoke about it yesterday. By the way, Roger, thanks for coming by. Pastor Tom Gill, thanks for coming by. Boy, did my wife cook up a spur-of-the-moment breakfast for Roger and Pastor Tom. Amazing. I had the most amazing little wife the world's ever seen. Appreciate her so much. See, I told you so. We saw what was going on with Tommy Robinson, free speech. We tell you every day there's free speech is being squashed. We tell you every day that Donald Trump is not going to save America. He's not going to make America great again, that only the church can make America great again. And while we're working to try to, for the most part, most of us are sitting back. We're not doing anything because Trump's in control. We know how things work, right? Well, they're in control. The deep state is doubling down, working hard. And I want you to know this, man. If we lose this battle with the deep state, they are going to come crashing down on Christian conservatives like we ain't never seen. If Hillary and that ilk are ever to get back into power, the rapture is right around the corner. Now, some of you would say, oh, yeah, good thing, rapture. Oh, yeah, well, go. Well, don't say that, Coach. Yeah.
I felt the same thing this morning, and I sent an email to somebody saying another personality, like, listen, we've got 6 years. If we haven't made significant steps forward in the next 6 years, because Trump's going to get reelected, if we don't admit, it's all of us are in jail. You're in jail. David Hebner's in jail. Mark Harrington's in jail. We're all in jail. Tom Robinson is the first martyr. You guys have got to wake up. We've got 6 years. That's it. You know, we've got to wake up.
I believe it. So let me do this, David. If I bring David Hebner in, Jared, I want you guys to see this clip, okay? I want you to think about this. We've become so passive. We have. We just roll over. I got some great stuff to share with you today. If I don't get to it today, I'm going to get to it tomorrow. I said, Coach, what about all that banking stuff you were going to talk about last week? Yeah, I never got to it. We'll double back. Kind of way I flow, you know? I'll double back on it. I got this video clip from the... tip of the cap to Terry for sending it to me, of Harrison Ford in the movie Witness. I want you to think about bullying. Usually a guy who bullies you is a guy who knows you're never going to fight back. Think about the bullies at the IRS. I think about the bullies at your public school. Think about your bullies at Facebook, the bullies at YouTube, the bully, wherever they are. They know you have no means to fight back because they know that you have no means to fight back, nor would you fight back if you had the means. They know you won't. They know Christians roll over and are weak and are soft. They know that's what Christians do. They know that. So therefore, they know there's no fight in the Christian. Since there's no fight in the Christian, let's go pick on them. Let's mock their God. Let's tear down their Ten Commandments. Let's strip their God out of the schools. Let's get the Bible reading out of the schools. Let's do everything we can to punch those sissy Christians in the face, because they ain't going to do nothing but pray and elect conservative Republicans. Somebody say amen so I know I'm talking to the right crowd.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
Hey,
yep.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Coach, yep. I'm no longer the Christian that turns the other cheek. All right.
Well, he only said that once, right? And he said that against a personal offense, by the way. Turn the other cheek. How did we become the land of the free and the home of the brave if we constantly turn the other cheek? Can somebody tell me that? Christianity has so sissified us that we think it is now noble not to fight back. That's become noble. That's become the Christian way.
Amen.
This is a 2-minute clip from the movie The Witness. Harrison Ford is an Amish man. I want you to listen to the very end of this clip. This is why I thought we ought to play this. Again, thanks, Terry, for sending it to me. Okay, here it is. Harrison Ford is Amish. They're rolling into town, and they're going to be picked on. And why are they going to be picked on? Because you can always pick on Christians. They'll pray for you, tell you how much Jesus loves you. Go ahead.
It happens sometimes. Do nothing.
Ask you to move this bucket.
The horse? Come on.
Come on, Goldilocks.
You must need to help. It's possible to...
Don't you speak English?
You don't hear very good, do you?
Still don't speak English.
On the chin, on the chin.
And...
The chin, yeah.
You look better, buddy.
What's next, then? Come on down, Jack.
Hey, they're not allowed to fight, Frank.
You a man or what?
Yeah, that's right. No fighting. They won't fight for their country either.
It's not our way.
But it's my way.
Book. No. Book.
How's it look?
It looks great. Give it to me.
Oh, okay.
Here comes another one. Look at this.
Whoa. It's all right, Book.
Hey, watch it, Frank. He's going to hit you with his Bible.
Oh.
You're making a mistake.
Hey.
Boo.
Never seen anything like it in all my years.
He's from Ohio, my cousin.
Well, them Ohio Amish must be different.
Yeah, those Ohio Amish, they must be different.
Mennonites.
Baby, those Ohio Amish, they must be different. And we got a bunch of them, too. I'll tell you something. We are Amish, aren't we? Let's admit it. We're just freaking Amish. That's all we are, Amish. Let them run over the top and destroy everything that we have. I ought to write that book story. The Amish, I don't even know how I'd say it. The Amishification of America. We're stinking Amish. We don't fight back at all. David Hebner, the last evangelist. Jared, I don't know if I gave you that link or not. I think I did. TheLastEvangelist.com. I'm not going to give David all the accolades, okay? He's a very well-known, famous Hollywood producer, actor, very famous in Europe. David Hebner is a Christian. He lives in Belize, but he's been in Louisville area for 2 months. We met him at Hear the Watchman conferences. He understands media gatekeepers, how the message isn't getting out. And he says, listen, if we're going to win this battle, we're going to win this battle by doing what? Reaching the next generation. We've got to reach the next generation. And we reach the next generation through media, not through books, not through, not long movies, through short media clips. And David came and shared his vision here at our house this weekend. That's not why he came, but shared it. And I was really touched by it. David, come on in here, man. Are you unmuted there, David? I think he knows how to do technology. He's a media guy. You there, Dave? You got to unmute yourself, David. Probably just touch your phone and then be a little microphone pop up. You get him yet?
Touch your screen.
David, touch your screen. And then a little red microphone ought to pop up on your screen, and you just hit that, and it'll unmute you. Not working there, Jared. What do you think, Jared? Is it on his end? Can you hear me? Tap that red mic, David. Folks, listen, I apologize to David, and I apologize to everybody, because I just literally, before we came on the air, said, David, are you up? Can you come on the air? I didn't give him any training on Google Hangouts or anything like that, so maybe he doesn't really, you know, maybe he's never worked with Google Hangouts. And there he is. David, you're up, man.
I am. How you guys doing? Is everybody
awesome, good? Brother. Awesome, brother. Piggyback on what I just – did you hear everything we said there, David?
I did. I feel so embarrassed because I'm supposed to know all this media, and I woke up about 5 minutes ago, Coach. But it's
all right. Well, you told me you got up in the early in the morning. That's why I texted you this morning, David.
No,
talk about the last evangelist and what you're trying to do and why it is so important.
Yeah, here's the thing, Coach. I've been a Christian for a long time. Now, I've been a Christian. The kind of guys that were riding in that buggy that with the hats on, the Amish, yeah. That's the kind of Christian I was. I thought I was supposed to be passive. I thought I was supposed to let they do anything to me that they wanted to do. And that the fact I was passive, that's what God loves and that's what God wants. But God showed me something. That when I decided to really turn to him and really read scripture and understand what God is all about, God told me, he said, David, you know, all these movies you've been making in the 80s and 90s, you know, the kind where the hero gets, the good guy gets beat up to the point where he seeks revenge. He comes back and he takes out everybody in the room. God said, David, that's the kind of Christian I'm looking for. I'm looking for the Dirty Harrys. I'm looking for the Charles Bronsons. I'm looking for the Rambos. He said, I don't need any more of these passive Christians. And so when God gave me the last evangelist, he said, David, I want you to tell the truth. Nothing but the truth, so help me God. And so here I am. It's a movie. It's a TV series. It's CSI meets the Book of Revelation. It's current events, how it applies to Matthew 24 and the book of Revelation. And it's happening now, Coach. It's happening right now.
And so, David, you've started this TV channel. It's called The Last Evangelist. I think Jared maybe has it up there, can put it up there on the screen for us. But, David, you said something to me on Saturday, Sunday morning maybe it was even, that was really, really rang true with me. And that is, we're living in a culture and a society of with very short attention span. And so the idea, the day that we can sit down and produce a 2-hour movie, I mean, we might still be able to do that. But the average guy comes along, he clicks on a YouTube video and he looks at the YouTube video. And if it's 30 minutes, he says, I ain't got time for that. So we have to come up with a short, concise message that's going to be impactful and easy to distribute to others. Am I explaining that right, Dave?
Yes, that's right, Coach. You are. Basically, the new generation, they don't want these hour-and-a-half movies. I mean, don't people have you ever thought, asked yourself, where did the hour and a half movie come from? Who wrote the law that you had to make a movie that was 90 minutes or 100 minutes? Well, they made it so they could sell more popcorn. They could have more breaks in the movie theaters and sell more popcorn. Guess what? We don't sell popcorn anymore. So I said, there's no popcorn, so why am I making an hour and a half movie? So it all started when Amazon came to me and asked me to make a bunch of horror films. And I said, I will if you let me make them 10 minutes long and if you let me put scripture at the end of every horror film. Of course, they laughed at me, but they let me do it anyway. Well, they were very successful. And so I turned to my kids. I said, kids, I want to listen to you. Talk to me and tell me what you want. I don't want to. See, here's the problem, Coach, and guys out there listening, girls.
Hey, David, if I can stop you a second, keep that thought. I just got a text message. If you can make it louder or get closer to the microphone. We have a lot of people who are listening just on phone. They're listening on their phones. They're listening there. And so they're having trouble hearing you. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Got you. But I'm on audio and video, right?
Correct? Okay. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Is that better? Does that work any better?
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. We don't want to lose your message. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So I told my kids, I said, talk to me. Tell me what you want. See, here's the problem. We as an older generation, we always live in the past. You know, we do things based upon what worked for us and even what's working now. But the younger generation are always looking to the future because they are the future. And this is the problem with the church. The church doesn't live in the future. The church doesn't even live in the now. They live in the past. And
we don't even think there's a future. The church doesn't even think there's a future.
No, I know. Are you kidding? Look at these churches. They're mostly empty, you know? They're mostly empty. So I'm making them 10 minutes long, and they're episodics, and they're going to go 6 episodes at a time. That's a season, 6 episodes at a time. And basically it covers issues like cashless society, mark of the beast. Of course, the deep state runs through it. It's where the religious system connects with the political system. See, what's going to happen, guys, and I keep telling people this, and Coach, you know this, and most everybody out there listening does. What's going to happen is we're going to have the greatest revival mankind has ever known, but it's going to be a false revival. It's going to be a Joel Osteen revival. It's going to be one of those Six Flags over Jesus revivals. Why? Because the government will get in bed with the religious system, and they will have the biggest fake revival you've ever seen, to the point where Christians in these revivals will come to us, the remnant, and they will kill us, thinking they're doing God a favor.
That's what it says. It says that for sure.
And this is what I talk about in The Last Evangelist. And people go, oh, man, Last Evangelist is going to be such a hit. Millions of people are going to watch it. Everybody. I go, wait a minute. Hold it. If millions of people love it, then it ain't telling the truth. The other thing, Coach, I don't mean jump around because I'm in the media. I'm in the business. All these, quote, Christian movies that have come out now, that are big hits, millions and millions of people come and watch them, and millions of money is made. Chances are this is not from God, because if it was from God, Jesus said, many are called, few are chosen. The road is narrow.
Amen.
Now, why do they think movies would be any different that, quote, spread the gospel? It's not as good. It's feel good, and this is what is the problem with America and with the world, is we're into this feel-good thing. Folks, we got to stop feeling good. We got to stop feeling good, and we got to get up off our knees and stop praying, and we got to start walking, and we got to start doing God's business.
David, you said something to me that was, you and I are, it's funny how the Lord brought us together, because we are so much on the same page. And what you are doing, first of all, David, I want you to explain to everybody that you already have a channel, that the Lord has blessed you. Folks, listen, with all the censorship that we're going on, that is going on in America, it's going to become difficult, if not impossible, for us to be able to get our message out. They want to block our message. But because David has such credibility in his past work, they have come to him and said, okay, listen, we're going to give you your own channel. And so David has come up with this plan and this scheme, a schedule like that word. But David, you said, first of all, guys, are you ready for this? He has to build a downline. Now, he didn't use that word, but he has to build a viewership. He's looking for like-minded people who are going to become part of this pro-life. We're going to do all these things on his channel. He already has the channel, but he's looking now for the people who are going to be his viewers. You understand what I'm saying? He's not putting the show out till he knows he already has a group of people who are interested in this and are willing to be part of this new vision for not only the lost, but young people. Did I say that right, David?
Oh, Coach, I couldn't have said it better. I couldn't have said it better. You see, here's the thing, guys. You must understand. Well, let me give you a little bit of history. I've only been doing this 11 months. I got into this because I'm making Last Evangelist. So I started talking to people, Coach, like yourself and Lisa Haven and Paul Bagley and people that are willing to tell the truth. So what happened is people started coming to my YouTube channel and they started listening to my videos. And my son turns to me 3 months after I'm on YouTube, and I don't have many followers. He said, Dad, they're demonetizing your videos. I said, what? He said, yeah, Dad, they're actually taking views away from your videos. I said, what? See, remember, I'm in the media, so I know their game. I can see it way in a distance what's going on. So I started investigating it, and I don't want to go into detail, but somebody said, David, I said, look, I don't have a big channel. I haven't been doing this long, but they said, but you got one thing that's very dangerous to them. You understand the media, and they know it, and they don't like it. And they're going to keep you down as long as they can. So then I said, all right, I'm getting off this ship because it's going to sink. And folks, all these guys that has had these half a million followers, that's going to be gone. They're going to flip a switch, and these guys are going to be out in the middle of the ocean with no raft. So what I'm doing is I'm playing their game. I jumped on what we call connected television, which is the future. It's Roku. It's Amazon. It's Apple. You go, well, why, David, maybe they're going to kick you off that. Well, they can't. You know why they can't sink that ship? Because they're all on that ship. You see, my philosophy is, when someone's going to destroy the world, go to the people, where, you know, go to the place of the enemy where they're living, because they can't destroy where they're living.
See, good point.
See? So good. What I've done is started this channel. It's connected television. Anybody can get it. You can, if you have television, you can go to David Hebner TV, type it in. If you don't, go to davidhebner.tv, and it's on the platform. You can pull it up. You sign in. It's $3.99 a month. It's really cheap. It's the lowest price I could put on it without them saying, no, you're not going to be on here. And right now we have 7 channels of truth. We have the Right to Life channel, which I know, Coach, your heart is close to. We have the Last Evangelist channel, which is going to show the Last Evangelist and all these videos that we do that are, you know, in outer space compared to most conservative Christians. We have the Supernatural channel, which tells of God's supernatural things that he's doing right now. We have the Prayer channel, where we can pray for you. We can all come together as a community. We have the Indie Faith Film Festival channel, where you can send in your movie. And we have the Academy channel, where I teach from film and acting from a Christian point of view. And so we'll be adding more channels.
David, this isn't a pipe dream, David. You already have this. This is already in place. And you're looking for people to populate these sites with programming, with videos. Well, this is already there, but you haven't really rolled it out yet.
No, I haven't. I haven't. God said, build it. You know, that old saying, build it, they will come. And so I've spent a lot of time. I've spent a lot of money. And I'm trusting that this is from God. And this is going to help a lot of people, Coach. I really believe it.
Because, David, you believe that in the future, because the idea of everybody sitting in front of a TV watching things on TV, that those days are gone. Cable TV is going to become a thing of the past, right, David? And so, therefore, people are going to be searching content. Folks, I want you to think about this. When I'm preparing my show in the morning, here's one of the things that I do. I go to YouTube, and I type in a topic. Doesn't matter what it is. Let's say I type in end times. And then, boom, all of these videos pop up that are talking about the end times. And then I get to choose which one of those I'm going to look at. And then after I look at it, which one I'm going to bring to you guys, which one is telling our message. David, that's the way television is going to become. So people are going to want to know information on pro-life, or they're very pro-life. They'll go to the pro-life channel to get their information. They want to know about whatever it would be. People are going to search. TV's changing, isn't it, David?
That's it. Exactly. That's why they call it connected TV. See, for instance, Coach, because you're going to be on the channel, okay? Let's say something happens in Washington this morning. You jump on your camera, you do a show. I have it uploaded within 10 minutes. The people go to it, they click to it, and it's right on there, okay?
Isn't that something? Wow.
It's connected TV. Plus, see, let me explain something to you. YouTube and television is a one-way street. It's a one-way street to the people that make the money and the people that own it and the people that have the agenda and they want to control you and me. It's a one-way street. Connected TV is a two-way street. And I'll explain to you why real quick. I can get to the audience and the audience can get to me. You say, well, how can they get to me? Well, I can right now tell everyone that they can send their videos right into this. I'll send them a link, and their video will go up within 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Of course, we have to approve it, make sure it's not out in outer space somewhere. They can contact us immediately. It's connected TV. Coach, this is a community. Think of it as the elect's church. The church of the elect, okay? And this is where we all can come together, we can share together, and we can strengthen each other together through truth.
David, my son-in-law is a Jimmy John's franchisee, whatever they say that. And you know what Jimmy John's built their business on? Jimmy John's built their business on freaky fast. In other words, you call, and they have it in your lap within 10 minutes. They deliver it to you in your lap within 10 minutes. They got into that market of freaky fast and their business exploded. In other words, David, it was simply a paradigm that somebody said, you know what? If we can deliver food, good food, very, very quickly, there's a market for that. That's what you're saying, aren't you, David? You're just ahead of everybody. Say, there's a market here. Let's get out in front of this market.
That's right. We are delivering the truth to everyone fast. Quickly. Once something happens, they don't need to turn on Fox News and hear some cockamamie story from the deep state who controls them anyway, controls the whole media. They don't need to go on YouTube and try to skip around and try to find the truth. They can come straight to our channel and then go, you know what? I want to hear what's really going on.
Yeah. I wonder what Coach Dave's saying about that. I wonder what Mark Harrington's saying about it. I wonder what David Heaven, I wonder what Mike Spaulding thinks about that. Go to get the information from a source they know they can trust.
Absolutely. And I met with Mike, great warrior for Christ. And I want him involved in the channel. He is involved in the channel. And all these people that you've been talking about and all these warriors for Christ, I invite them. The door is open. We need you. And this is what this is all about. This is not my channel. This is God's channel, and it's just a platform for us to get out there and tell the truth.
Do you understand, folks, that I'm going to open it up and let you ask some questions here, David. Here's what I know. My experience has taught me this. When I when I first got involved in the media, I was a coach. I got sued by the ACLU, and I called the local radio station. I said, you know, I'd like to have a show. Can I have a show? And they sold me some airtime, and I started that airtime, and then I was on terrestrial radio for about 7 or 8 years, maybe even longer than that. Every Saturday morning, hammering it out, doing it. But you know what happened? On this Christian radio station, it got to the point where they didn't really like the message. Gatekeepers, right? Gatekeepers. Right. Those who are telling all of us what we can and cannot hear. Whether we want to believe it or not, your pastor is a gatekeeper. He wants to control what you can and cannot hear. In fact, some of you have had your pastor say, you better quit listening to that coach. He's going to get you in trouble. He's a cultist. They're following you. You better stop doing it because they want you to follow them. They want you to follow them and what they're going to say. And so the battle is going to be for distribution. There are plenty. I could rattle off 15 guys right now that ought to be speaking to the world every day, but they can't because they have no outlet. The Christian world won't let them speak. You hear me? The secular world won't let them speak. The church wants to do the church thing. The devil's team wants to do the devil's team. And the watchman ain't got no place to go. David Hebner is ahead of that. Got a question for him. Somebody come on in here.
Dave, I just want to congratulate him. That was excellent. That was excellent, David.
Hey, David. Yeah, this is Larry Rich. I just want to say, man, what a breath of fresh air you are. For 33 decades now, over 30 years, I've been walking around realizing how few we are in number. And I just have a quick question for you, if Coach will allow me to ask it here. I have come to the determination that if there's going to be an answer to the problem of Islam taking our country over, it's going to require politicians to come up with a solution. And I've also realized that the politicians will never even address that issue on their own. They're not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. So the only solution for we the people at this point to keep from having to pick up arms and fight a war is that we have to force our politicians to pay attention. And I think the way to do that is to just start a national conversation in every arena we can, the water cooler at the workplace, the locker room at the football team, everywhere we can. Go, and your local city council, there's people, movers and shakers that kind of work behind the scenes, get them talk. We've got to start this conversation and force it to have such a public opinion that it forces our politicians to look at the issue. And then we can start deciding what the answers are. But what knowing what the answers are doesn't do us a bit of good if those answers never get any consideration.
Now we can use Dave TV.
Yeah, well, it comes back to what I said at the beginning, see? They. Who are they? Who are they that tell us we have to teach our kids this? Who are they that tell us that we have to accept this? Who are they to say this is the community standards? Who are they? Well, they're the ones that are in control of everything, right, David? They're disseminating the information. That's they.
Yeah. Well, their biggest weapon is our fear. Once we get rid of fear, they have no more weapons against us. You see, Jesus, the Bible says that God does not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And if I can throw my 2 cents worth in, this is what I've discovered. See, I'm in Hollywood, so I'm around it all the time. And for some miraculous reason, people are afraid to come up to me and talk to me about things. And I'm talking about non-Christians and Christians. And what I do is I pray that God gives me the power of the Holy Spirit, number one, to make wise decisions, to know my battles, to know which enemy I'm going to deal with. You see, there's a lot of enemies out there, folks. The problem is we're messing with enemies that God never assigned us to.
Mm.
That's not our coach. You're a coach. You have a football team. And you know that your players are designated to do certain things. And what if they go off and do something else? You can go up to them and say, what are you doing? You crazy? You're messing up this whole thing. So, folks, I hear Christians, true believers all the time, getting into these arguments, these conversations with these idiot enemies. It's not even their battlefield. They should just walk away, leave it alone. So What I'm saying is each one of us have been signed an enemy, a task force, a mission. Pray to God and say, God, let me know when that light comes on that I'm to go after that one. That's mine right there. And to leave this one alone. Because this one belongs to Coach, or this one belongs to Heaven, or this one belongs to Mike Spaulding, or this one that's what God's given me.
Okay, David, so listen, I've got a couple. I'm looking at the chat as we're going here, and I got a couple of text messages. How specifically do they sign up? How do they help you, David? Because I saw somebody said, don't go to Roku and sign up. Got to go to your website and do it. Is that right, David?
That's right. Go to davidheavener.tv.
Folks, it's Heaven. He's in Heaven. Heaven with an E-R on the end of it. Heavener.
Right, .tv. And if you do go to Roku, just don't go through their app. Go in where it says Lightcast. There's another app there. Just don't go through the Roku app. Because Roku, once again, remember I told you, you got to go where the people that are trying to do the damage, you got to go where they're at. You don't want to go into their front door. You want to go into Lightcast, which is right next to Roku, or you want to go to davidheavener.tv. Join the community, folks. I'm telling you, we're going to have such a powerful time with this, and we're going to bust the doors open.
Amen. 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 So David Heavener, I'm looking right now, David, it's up on our screen. It came up as davidheavener.com. There it is. Yeah, Jared says David Heavener TV. You see that, Jared? Right. I don't know if we click on that one.
Hey, Coach, just so you know, I'm trying to join and I click on the join, but it doesn't take me anywhere.
Okay.
Okay. Well, if you go underneath one of the channels and click on that, and they're still getting the bugs out of it. This thing's literally only been up for a couple of weeks, and I apologize. But you guys can email me if there's a problem, and I'll make sure somebody gets with you. Can I give my email, Coach?
Oh, please do. Please do. Yeah. Yep.
You can email me at david@davidheavener.com. david@davidheavener.com if you have any problem. Sometimes people do, and I apologize. I don't know if it's because there's too many people signing in or it's just not working properly. But you can contact me, and I'll get right back with you.
David at David Heavener. Again, folks, it's like he's in heaven with an E-R. David Heavener. That's for those who are listening by phone. They can't see the screen. David Heavener, .com, it comes up. davidheavener.tv.
Hey, I heard David. Somebody said, yeah, David. So if we join, then we can just watch it on the computer, or we don't need to watch it on TV, just on the computer or even on the phone.
Yeah, just on the phone, on the computer. I'm going to try to remain at the cutting edge of technology if I can. So everything that pops up, just like we'll be on Apple in a couple of months, at Apple TV. There's new televisions that are coming up. I'll try to be on every one. I'm going to be on your Apple Watch. I'll be on your Apple, everything that carries media, you'll be able to catch us on that.
Guys, do you remember the day when you first were introduced to the internet and then you got in the car and you turned on your radio and all you had was just AM and FM. And then all of a sudden now they've got it so, wow, there's internet in your car. Wow, this is unbelievable. That's what's happening here. This is what David Heavener is giving us the opportunity to have. We're going to have our own channel. We're going to we're not looking for the masses. Do you understand? We're not looking for them. We're looking for the broad and narrow, many and the few. And we're going to try to build a community. We're going to try to build a community here. And David's not blowing smoke. He has what the Lord has given him, the channel. My goodness, what an opportunity to get past the gatekeeper. Anything else? I got a video I want to show real quick here at the end. David, we appreciate you being on here with us. We'll do updates with you, David. Keep people filled in.
Coach. Thank you, Coach. Yep. And thank you for your wonderful hospitality this weekend. Your wonderful wife, Michelle. Just thank you so much. We really appreciate it, my son and I.
We look forward to doing a lot more, everybody. It's great to have you. Mark Trump, Coach. Are you trying to get in here? Or who is it?
It's Donald Paxson. I just wanted to make a comment to people not to sign up on Roku because you can't get on the website if you go sign up on Roku. Okay, so you there you sign go. Sign up on the website.
Go to the website and sign up there. Folks, I want to leave you with this. We could have kept David on long. We got a lot, you know. I was a great spur of the moment guest, by the way. Praise the Lord on that one. I want you to watch a little 6-minute video. It's called "I'm an Englishman." But as you watch this video, I want you to substitute Englishman and put in American. I'm an American. I'm a German. Put whatever you want to in there. This is really where we find ourselves today. Okay, this is where we find us. This is entitled "I'm an Englishman." It's 7 minutes long. Go ahead, Jared.
I'm an Englishman. I'm from Bermondsey, southeast London. My father was called George. He was also from Bermondsey. His father, another Bermondsey man, was called George too. And his father, my great-grandfather, just went the same place. He was called Edward. These three generations of my family were in the fish trade. I'm the first member of my family not to work at the market in Billingsgate. My great-grandfather had 11 brothers and sisters. They all married, except one. They had 43 children. Of these, 37 married. And between them, they had a further 159 children. One of those was my father. I don't know exactly how many of his generation married or exactly how many children they produced. I've so far tracked over 200 of them. Many still live in Bermondsey. Some are still in the fish trade. There are 7 called George and 5 called Victoria. I stand here in front of you as a representative of all of them. And I ask in their name the great question put by our patron, Mr. Powell. What do they know of England, who only England know? Or, what can my family, who come from England, who lived in England, who know only England, say of this, our country? Mr. Powell once spoke of the destruction of ancient Athens and the miraculous survival in the blackened ruins of that city of the sacred olive tree, the symbol of Greece, their country. And he also spoke of us, the English, at the heart of a vanished empire, seeming to find within ourselves, like one of our own oak trees, the sap rising from our ancient roots. And he said, perhaps after all, we who have inhabited this island fortress for an unbroken 1,000 years, brought up, as he said, within the sound of English birdsong, under the English oak, in the English meadow, beneath the red cross of St. George, it is us who know most of England. It was as if he spoke for my family, who understand well their own country, who understand even better their own capital, London Town, as we used to call her. As we strolled in her parks, as we marveled at her palaces, as we did business in the city, went west for a dance, took a boat on the river, the pale ale and eel pie of old London. The London of my family for as many generations as I know. The London that within 15 years will be less than 50% white.
London where in 15 years a white person will be in the minority. Am I racist? No. Do I have anything against people of other races? No. Would I prevent them from coming into my home? No. So what then is my gripe? My gripe. And I speak on behalf of 7 men called George and 5 women called Victoria. My gripe is quite simple. My gripe is that we were never asked. My gripe is that we were told, not asked. And every day we are told again and again how we are to be. And how our country is to be. We're told by them. And we know who they are. They're English too. They're the class that has always set themselves apart. They're the class that has always taken whatever they wanted for themselves. And now they are the class that is giving England away. Do we allow them to sell our heritage? Or is it time for us to speak? To speak. To refuse them the right. To give away our holy, our bountiful, our only England that has nurtured us naked, grown us as the oak. Is it time for us that England know to come yet again and defend our country with our fire, our fists? Is it time for our sons to rise again?
Mm. That's pretty sobering.
Wow.
Is it time?
Like you said, that's a picture of the United States of America. In just a very few years, if we don't find a way.
Yeah.
Unless the rapture comes, Larry. Yeah, Darren.
We've got to remember our history. We have to remember why and who we are. You have to. And Larry, no, you have to get mad about it. You got to get mad about it, that it's going to be gone. Your heritage is going to be gone. And you have to say, he made a mistake in that video. It's not just that they didn't ask. It's, this is my heritage, and your heritage can go over there. But this is mine, and it's here, and it's Amen. Now. And it's our heritage, not yours.
Amen, brother.
From a national perspective, and within that, underneath that, we are all Christians. Christianity in Christ is above all of that, but we can still say, this is my people.
Amen.
Hey, Jared, make me a minute and a half video with that kind of passion about we've got to do something.
Yeah.
So this is where I was heading this morning. What's that old saying? If not now, when? If not me, who? We are living right now where England was 10 years ago. We are right there. And as I started out the show, I asked the question, who in the hell are they that are selling us out, that are giving away, that are telling us what we have to accept and what we can't accept and what we can say and what we can't say and what we can broadcast and what we can't broadcast and what we can think and what we... Who are they in a nation specifically created by we, the people? This is why, in my mind, June 15th and 16th is the beginning of something extremely important. Men and women standing up and saying, enough. Enough. Now, don't miss tomorrow if the Lord permits us to do it. I'm going to take you deeper into this. because we are at the precipice. We are standing on the ledge, and we are either going to be pushed off or we're going to push back. We'll see you tomorrow.